The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours with the Process Pup Patch at bigbarker.com/Ricky. Adam Kasabi, the official realtor of the Process, 302-864-8643. LL Pavorsky, Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged. And Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, James Harden's out for a month. Joel Embiid is still sick. B-Ball Paul and Montrezl Harrell played together, and the Sixers lost to the Knicks, and everyone is still mad at Doc Rivers. So not too much has changed. And with Mike out, we are joined by two former podcast co-hosts of mine, the two co-hosts of The Art of the Take, WIP's Jack Fritz and Justin Giglio, who we haven't had an Art of the Take, I think, in 2 years or something. So Mike's on vacation. Jack and Joe will fill in. We'll talk some Sixers, some Phillies, and what has happened to Jack's Twitter feed, which has really just spiraled into a really just demented place over the last couple of years. So before we get going, I did mention Kinetic Skateboarding. Important if you're in the area. Now, if you're not in the area, you go to kineticskateboarding.com, or if you're in the area, you can always go to kineticskateboarding.com. But right now, this weekend, Kinetic is having a sidewalk sale. So I think shoes as low as like $15 and hoodies and t-shirts and pants and all that kind of stuff. But sidewalk sales are a lot of fun and it's nice out, right? So 70 degrees or something. So hit up Kinetic Skateboarding for the sidewalk sale. Otherwise, kineticskateboarding.com. 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
We were right, y'all. We were right.
We were right.
Even when it went wrong, we were right.
We were right.
We was right, y'all. We were right. So say the name.
Say the name.
We were right, y'all. We were right.
We were right.
Even when it went wrong, we were right. We were right, y'all. We were right. So say the name.
Say the name.
Say the name.
Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with my two guest co-hosts, as Mike is on vacation, one Jack Fritz and Joe Justin Giglio of WIP and the Art of the Take pod. Welcome, friends, back together for the pod. This is your first appearance on the Ricky for both of you, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it wasn't a pod, but I was at the live Ricky on the stage when Brett Brown showed up.
Oh, right. Yes, you and Ike did.
Yes.
And Jack once was my on-site producer for a live Ricky, and it was honestly one of the most traumatic experiences of Jack's life, I believe.
Yeah, we got through it. We battled through it. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Going from friend Spike to boss Spike was a very quick transition was not totally ready for. A complicated history with the Ricky. You know, I wore a Philip the Intern tag around one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big bit.
Yeah.
So,
at a lottery party, you wore the Philip the Intern,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I worked a couple of those things. It's a good time. I just want to know, like, you know, are we going to update any of the bits on this podcast? I mean, it's still 9.1% and Dave Silver. I mean, that's like 4 years old. Like, can we like maybe advance this whole thing?
Branding. It is an exercise in branding. That's what you should follow the Ricky for. Branding advice. So before we do totally get into the pod, a promotion for both Jack and Joe. Jack hosts the High Hopes podcast, which is the only Phillies podcast on the internet, with James Seltzer, who honestly, and we'll get into this later in the pod when we talk about the Phillies, having you two on the same podcast is really just an exercise in
branding. Yes.
I guess that's one way to put it. And Joe Giglio, evening host at WIP, also host of BetQL Daily, which is, what time is BetQL Daily?
9 a.m. to 12.
So Joe is always doing a sports radio show at some point during the day. And on his weekend, I asked him to fill in on a podcast. So here we are. So here's the way I thought we'd structure it. Talk a little Sixers. I can't talk Sixers in the same way that I do with Mike, because Mike will have every piece of minutia and you guys do not have any minutia. So start off with some Sixers, then pivot into some Phillies, and then we round up with some takeage at the end. If you have never listened, Joe, Jack, and I hosted a podcast called The Art of the Take. It was around for a year and a half, something like that, maybe around.
Around then, yeah.
It got difficult. Scheduling got difficult, and then COVID happened, and then the world changed and made it difficult for us to do the podcast in the same way that we used to do the podcast, so much so that the old podcast is not even on the internet anymore. Like, there's nowhere to find it. It is buried in a lockbox somewhere. But I think what I always said was the craziest Ricky people ended up being Art of the Take people, and I'm proud of its legacy, even though if it doesn't exist anymore. It was the weirdest podcast, the weirdest thing I've ever been associated with, I think.
Well, remember when we brought in the Netflix producers that one time?
Well, we had guests.
Guests?
We decided to do a guest that we had. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Why did we do that? What was the purpose of them?
They had some show. What was the show? Do you remember, Jack?
It was the Circle or something like that. It was like a game show,
right?
Like a reality show where they all went somewhere together, and I don't know, like they were looking to promote it and we were looking to make jokes, and I don't think they got what they were looking for.
No,
they definitely didn't.
No. I think very few people ever got what they were looking for when they logged on. And thankfully that was our first and only guest. Well, Elliot Shore Parks filled in once was a guest once. And I was trying to think, we always did it in person, which I think always made it better because of the ability for me to see when you guys were uncomfortable, like in person, so I could keep pushing it. I do remember we tried to do it virtually once and Gilio's connection was an enormous disaster.
Like, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad. So this is but I do feel like this sort of technology has come a long way since we tried to do it virtually prior.
Well, one time we just had your microphone just on a table, you know, like,
and
then everyone was talking into it.
Yeah, that was weird too.
That was definitely pre-COVID because there's no way we could have all done that afterwards.
No. And we tried to do one in the middle of COVID, and I think 10 minutes into it, we realized we couldn't really say anything anymore the same way we said it. So I'm wondering, so you guys both work at WIP and I'm not there anymore. I do hear the radio station sometimes, but I'm not in the middle of it anymore. Obviously the Sixers are not top story given that the Eagles are 8-0 and the Phillies are in the World Series. I'm curious what you think if the Phillies were not in the World Series and the Eagles were not 8-0 and the Sixers did have some sort of like WIP exposure right now, what would be the biggest, angriest story? Would it be Embiid comes to camp out of shape again? James Harden is hurt. This is never going to work. Tyrese Maxey is the best player on the team, or Doc Rivers should be fired?
So for us, it's Doc Rivers should be fired. I mean, like, we're even with the Phillies doing their thing, and like, it's so... Everything's too happy, right? Like it's the Phillies are unbelievable. The Eagles are 8-0. Like, the one thing we can actually still yell about is Doc Rivers and the Sixers. So we have mixed it in every once in a while of just like, this guy's a problem. This guy's got to go. And I think the worst thing that happened to Doc Rivers is that Joe Girardi got fired and Rob Thompson took the Phillies to the Super Bowl or to the World Series.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a little bit of that in the Philadelphia sports fan that's like, okay, well, maybe Sam Cassell can do the same thing to this team, because people don't really want to rip Embiid. Harden, there's a weird thing with Harden. Like, I think people still believe in him, and everyone loves Maxey. So I think everyone wants those guys to work. I think Doc's the guy that people are most annoyed with.
Yeah, it's Doc. Doc would be it. But I do think Embiid would be second. So that I heard a couple calls.
You've always had it in for Embiid.
Well, no, I'm not having it.
Yeah, you and Mad Mike.
No. I heard a couple calls on the air a couple weeks ago, or maybe this past week. I guess Maxey went off last Friday, right, without Embiid playing, when he started getting sick, which he's always sick.
Yeah.
But I heard someone call in. It might have been Gus from Allentown, who's a great Sixers caller.
Yes. Yeah.
And he said they're better without Embiid. Like, though I've heard that starting. So I think Embiid would be second. But, yeah, I mean, it's Doc. And Jack's right. The whole thing with Joe Girardi, it's like everyone's just going to assume now when they fire Doc, the Sixers are going to go on a run, too, because the Phillies did. It's like, right. Oh, it's going to happen again.
Ike has always hated Doc, I think. Am I right? Is that a correct read that Ike Reese has not been a Doc guy?
Yeah, he also hates Harden too. So he's got
he does hate.
It's not a great mix. He's never liked Harden's game. Because I think when Harden was at his peak, there was a lot of comps to Kobe. Like, this is what Kobe should have been like. Obviously, Ike is not a fan of that.
Yeah, every one of Ike's basketball opinions goes back to Kobe one way or another. It is rooted in Kobe, right?
Yeah. Well, and now his favorite thing is, like, he can't physically stomach watching PJ Tucker play basketball because he says, I could have done that. Like, he's convinced that he could have been PJ Tucker, and it drives him nuts.
I miss Ike. So it would be Doc. It was funny. It's like, I don't even know what there is to talk about the Nick game, to be quite honest. There was like, you know, Maxi had his moments. It wasn't the best Maxi game of all time. You know, you're without Embiid and you're without Harden. It's not completely inexcusable that you would lose. There were some fun and scary B-ball Paul moments, but like the Doc moment was him playing Paul Reed and Montrezl Harrell together, which just seems like him giving his middle finger. He knows that we're mad at him about Paul Reed. Like, it drives him crazy. I'm sure it makes him mad, because I think Paul Reed is probably a little tough to communicate with, I think, is the Doc problem. But like, leave it to Doc to do something during a game where he's that shorthanded to make the blame go on him rather than everyone just sort of excusing the loss because they were gone. Him playing Harrell and Paul Reed together is just one of the most confounding things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, if they lost last night when they were up, because they were up, right, heading into the fourth quarter by a decent amount. I was watching while on the air.
Maxi went nuts in the third quarter, and then they went up. Yeah,
if they just lost the game without Embiid and Harden, like, I don't think anyone would have said much today. Like, whatever. Like, they just were really shorthanded last night. But the fact that they were out, like, how did Doc make that loss about him? That's what it felt like he did last night. Like, they should have lost anyway. I think they were underdogs or maybe a point favorite by the time the game tipped off, because I was trying to play Maxi props like Jack was. Didn't work out. But he made it about him by what he did at the end of the game with those guys in. In what world could Paul Reed and Montrezl Harrell be on the court for any minutes at a time together?
And he wants us to play Paul Reed, so he's like, fine, I'm going to fucking do it with Harrell. I'm not taking Harrell off. I just, whatever. I also think, which is what I think would make him the focus of WIP's ire, and honestly, what has made him the focus of my ire, I actually think at this point, I think most coaches do neither more harm than good. Like, I think most basketball coaches are just sort of in the middle, and you win whether the players are good enough or not. But I think he has reached the point where he's probably more of a negative at this point. And on top of that, the thing that always annoyed me about him, and I think the thing that would turn him into why I wish the Sixers were the focus at IP right now, is like Doc's hate for the media, like his open contempt for the media, which is he's being saved from a lot right now because of the Phillies and the Eagles, but Angelo specifically and Doc's disdain for the media would be an amazing combination, I think. So,
yeah. And I think that's the reason why there's, like, you know, I think there's already this, like, Doc's on a short leash here, I think, because of how he's talked to the media or talked to the fans, honestly, through the media. Like, we're not going to go on a Paul Reed victory tour was unreal. Right. I mean, like, the whole Bodner thing last year was one of the funniest things I've ever seen at a press conference. Like, there is nothing that makes me smile wider than when Doc comes out like a little fired up to a press conference, because then I know, like, we're gonna get drops out of this. Like, Ike and John are gonna go off. Like, there is nothing that brings me more joy.
The Ike quote, I never knew. I don't remember if it was on the air, but I've mentioned it on the Ricky a bunch of times. The Ike Reese quote, when Doc used to say about Ben Simmons, "I'm not worried about him shooting," Ike would go, "Oh, you're gonna worry." Like, and he was right. He was right.
Well, maybe they would have beat the Knicks last night if Ben Simmons was still here.
You never know.
Never lost the Knicks.
Hey, Julia, we sent you a big barker, right? Didn't we send for your dog? What's your dog's name?
Dina.
Is Dina, and Dina's getting up there in age, right?
Yeah, she's 10 now. She loves it. So it took like a week. I think she was just, you change a bed. It's kind of a weird thing for a dog. But she, she loves it now. She's great. A big barker pup.
Big
not a
barker,
pup.
Process pup, Julia. And Jack, you don't have a dog right now, even though you have a dog history, right?
Yes, big dog history. No current dog. That's Jill's fault.
Yeah. Gotta talk to Jill. Get
that,
Jill on the pod.
Maybe and as Jack has told us before, all dogs are boys, which is
that bothers me. Right. Anyway, Big Barker, sponsor of the Ricky, longtime sponsor of the Ricky. As Joe said, specifically, you know, for dogs that are getting up there in age, they start to, you know, not be as springy as they used to be. Little arthritis creeping in there, achy joints. Big Barker will help ease that. And that's not just a claim they make. It's a thing that's been proven. Penn Vet did a study, had improvement in joint function, reduction in pain severity, all of those things. The Big Barker is the only dog bed that is made to really keep your dog healthier. That is the goal, and that's what they achieve. You can see it when you look. Like, when you look at a dog on a Big Barker and you see the support the dog is getting compared to those other dog beds you see in the pet store, you see the difference, and there's a real difference. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. bigbarker.com/Ricky. You get the Big Barker dog bed, which, by the way, comes in several different colors, looks very tasteful in whatever room you have, several different sizes, with the headrest, without the headrest, tons of options, small dogs, big dogs, whatever. bigbarker.com/Ricky. You get the dog bed and you get the process pup patches. Two of them. There is a 10-year warranty. The foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, if your dog doesn't like it, you get a full refund, and they even pay for the shipping. It is handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds. Oh, here's where Mike usually barks here, but we're going to have the Zach Lowe bark instead. Oh, wait, hold on. I always screw up my sound effect thing here. Hang on. I want to play you the Zach Lowe bark.
Good.
Zach Lowe did bark. Hold on.
Well, Julio volunteered to bark if you need him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look at him. He looks.
I'm a bark guy, yeah. Bark guy.
You've always been a bark guy. Hold on.
I wish we had the camera drop of him barking.
Here we go. Hang on. This is a real bark from Zach Lowe.
Okay. It's going well.
It doesn't.
Are you sure about this?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I could get Dean in here to bark if we need.
Failure. No.
That's a guy that's never run a board before.
Here we go. Shut up.
That's not Zach Lowe.
Yes,
that's
it is. Not. It's 100%.
Why did he,
altered.
Bark? How
it's
did
not
you
altered.
Get him to bark?
For Big Bark. Yeah. For dog bed. I wondered watching the game last night, and we are deep in it. We're deep in Sixers on this pod. So sometimes it is difficult to have the proper perspective on anything. I wonder from you, from people who have other things in their lives that they're talking about, aside from just the Sixers, maybe this perspective will help. I wondered while watching the game, which I said last night, but I watched it this morning, have we transitioned, has this organization and team transitioned into a team that is like, definitely not going to win a title, and we just haven't accepted it yet. Like, it obviously the chances are slimmer. Everyone would say, or a lot of people would say, that they're slimmer now, at least over the long run, than they were 3 years ago, than we would have guessed, even though I think some people might argue that right now is their best chance. Do you think that we have transitioned into that without noticing, or do you think there is still a potential for at some point something happening that has them sort of complete all this?
Yeah, I think we've transitioned there. Unless Maxey is special, like not just really good, but he's special. I'm not sure he's special. I mean, he's obviously a good player and he's gotten better. But I don't know how they go from where they've been the last couple of years to win a title. Like, Joel is great, but it hasn't happened in the playoffs. And like, how much better? He's not getting any better.
Would you trade Maxey for Durant?
Yes.
Joe or Jack?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I think I'd rather have Maxey. I know, Durant's amazing, but like, I don't care anymore. Like, I learned with Jalen Hurts that I like rooting for guys that I like, and I don't care if it brings us a title. I'd rather have Maxey here.
So, but does that mean we've transitioned to not winning a title? Are we there?
Well, I don't think we're totally there yet. I just think that I think the general view on the Sixers right now is like it's almost Eagles-ish from like the early 2000s, where it's just wake me up when you win something in the postseason. You know, because the regular season just doesn't matter anymore. Like the NBA right now in the regular season is just absolutely dreadful. Like no one's playing, and I think that, you know, there's a like I think Harden looks better this year. I think that they got to figure out how to work him and Maxey together, because when Harden was playing really well, I thought Maxey wasn't doing anything. Like the beginning of the year, they just looked like they're all playing individual basketball, and like Joel is trying to make up for not getting the ball as much because Harden has the ball. Like they got to figure all that out. But I think there's still a shot. But I just don't know if they will have that special feel to them. Like, I don't know how it all comes together and they go on one of those like magical runs. That's the one thing that I can't see, like, the team chemistry happening that way.
Well, that people, Mike says a lot, and some of our listeners say what you said is like, well, the regular season doesn't mean anything, but it's rare that an NBA team does like what the Phillies are doing, right, that they just sort of like plod along during the regular season and might be good and might not be good. And then all of a sudden, as the playoffs come, you know, end up putting together a run. I mean, you could go back through the history of the NBA, and I think the only time that you could argue that that happened was the LeBron Cavs team that ended up beating the Warriors, but they had LeBron at his like the peak at the time. So when people say that the regular season doesn't matter, I just sort of don't buy it. I do agree that just because they're good during the regular season doesn't mean that they're not going to be good during the playoffs, or doesn't mean that they're assured to be good during the playoffs. But it's very hard to find a team that wasn't really good in the regular season go and win the title, you know, and that's the worry that I have. And the Harden thing, that was the last Sixers thing, is that like I feel like I'm stuck in that when I watch Harden, he does not look like he did against Miami. That's for sure. But against Miami, I think the thing that we're forgetting about is that, like, I think he was trying to lose. I mean, he certainly wasn't interested in playing. He doesn't look that much different to me than he did during the regular season last year. He might look a little bit better, but I don't think he looks that much better, which again puts it squarely on Maxey, which I guess you could argue, even though they're not playing together and I'd like them to play together, Maxey having this month plus of time where he is the primary offense guy is good for them, so he can get a feel of that. He's still not a great like creator or whatever. Maybe this time will be good for him. But I still think the frightening part of it is that it relies mostly on Maxey at this point.
And he's still young. I mean, he's still really young for him to be the guy there. And I agree with Jack said. He just was passive when they all were playing together.
Yeah.
Like, he had a game. I think he had 9 points. It was like, you know, he just wasn't there. I mean, he's got to be more assertive, because I don't want James Harden shooting the ball 30 times. Like, that happened a couple times earlier this year and they lost. I mean, that's not a winning formula.
Well, especially because so many of his shots at this point, he has certainly evolved, credit to him in that he's evolved this game, because he can't really get to the rim anymore. But what that does is it means that so many of his shots are jumpers. And like, that's, I don't know, is nerve.
I do love when he knocks someone down, or like, you know, they fall down and then he
acts like he shook them or something after he pushes them over.
Yeah. And then he gets like him doing that and then doing the shimmy and then airballing. I was like, this is not a good scene, man. Well, this is not going well.
The Marcus Smart one was good because it was a double of Harden pushing him a little bit, Marcus Smart flopping unbelievably, and then Harden acting like he shook him or something.
Yeah.
That was a great
and then
one.
Airballing it and then like hitting the side of the rim. I mean, it's insane. So yeah, I mean, like, Harden, like, the only way this is going to work is if Maxey can figure out how to play with Harden, and Harden can't just be like a high. Like, at the beginning of the season, I felt like he was trying to be Houston Harden with like a high usage rate. Like, I'm the guy on this team. But at the same time, like, Embiid looked off because he wasn't being able to do Embiid things, and Maxey isn't being able to do Maxey things. So, like, the injury, like, they'll probably go on a run here because Maxey and Embiid like know how to play together, but it's not ultimately going to help the Sixers. Like, they got to figure out how to play together.
Yeah. All right. If you had to bet your life on all these things, do you have to bet your life on whether James Harden is a Philadelphia 76er game one of next season?
Yes.
Joe?
I would bet yes too, because okay. Daryl's here.
You have to bet your life that Tyrese Maxey is on the Sixers the first game of next season?
Yes.
No.
And you have to bet your life, two more, that Joel Embiid is on the roster first game of next season?
No.
No, because he might ask out.
Wow. So you, if you had to bet your life, you would bet no?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. But,
I'm not risking my life on that.
Can you imagine if I wind up with both Simmons and Embiid on in New York on two separate teams? What a turn of events.
I'm worried about a little bit worried about the Embiid thing. Like,
well, what worries me is not them not winning, is that it is clear to me, and we talked about this on the last pod, it is clear to me that the moves they made in the offseason, while none of them are, you know, Embiid specifically asked for P.J. Tucker. So
I mean, he asked for him in the press conference. They lost to Miami.
Right. So that's, but every move they made in the offseason was a Harden move. It was Daniel House is a Harden move. P.J. Tucker is a Harden move. Montrezl Harrell is a Harden / Doc move. All of these moves were Harden moves. And I sort of wonder whether Embiid, now it's weird for Embiid because he doesn't have an agent right now, and like forcing your way out without an agent is tough and all those sorts of things. But I do wonder if they, if they were to lose in the second round and it was to be a, you know, Harden-centric team, how Embiid would feel about that, especially with Harden's being able to opt out as well, too, like how that goes. And finally, is Doc Rivers coaching March 1st, 2023, coaching the Sixers?
No way.
You don't think so?
I don't know if he's making it to January 1st, 2023.
It'll be Sam Cassell, and then we'll see what happens.
I think it'll be D'Antoni. I think they're doing the
oh,
fucking,
wow.
Yeah, I think they
bring
will.
Bring back D'Antoni?
Well, did Joel like him when he was here?
So people actually don't remember this. It is the one good thing Ben Simmons tried to do while he was in Philadelphia, is when, after the Sixers had fired Brett Brown, Joel Embiid wanted D'Antoni. Ben Simmons wanted Ty Lue. They didn't pick either of them. They picked Doc because who the fuck knows why, but like they probably would have ended up, Ty Lue's obviously a better coach than Doc and at least an equal coach to D'Antoni. But I think given Maury's familiarity with D'Antoni, Harden's familiarity with D'Antoni, and the fact that Embiid wanted him, I think we would get a D'Antoni, who, by the way, Philadelphia fans would fucking despise D'Antoni because he does have that Girardi style, like, are we doing media again? Like, sort of vibe to him. He's not a fiery guy.
I thought it was reported that Ty Lue was his next Sixers coach, I believe, at one point.
Oh, no. Who reported that? Was it Giglio? Was it Howard?
No, it's nope. John Johnson.
Oh, wow. John Johnson catching a stray on the Ricky?
I saw it in Jack's eyes that Johnson was about to be taken down right there.
Wow. Incredible. So unprofessional of you.
Well, I forgot about the Ty Lue thing. And then I also remembered when he was reported to be the Sixers coach for a little bit there.
Wow. So
had to bring it up.
Incredible. Incredible.
Always listen
slander.
To Ben Simmons and John Johnson. They have it. They know.
We'll get to Simmons in a second. Before we get to Simmons and then the Phillies and then some takes, another sponsor of the pod this week, Adam Kasebe, the official realtor of the process. Kasebe is spelled K-S-E-B-E. You can call or text him whenever you want. 302-864-8643. In fact, if you're watching or listening right now, I want you to text Adam Kasebe. Ask him what he thought of the Sixers game last night. 302-864-8643. Kasebe is the king of the Delaware beaches. And the Delaware beaches, if you've ever been, are superior to New Jersey beaches for a couple of reasons. First of all, not quite as crazy as the Jersey beaches, like not quite as packed. There are crowds there, I'm not going to lie, but there are several different options in Delaware if you don't like crowds. If you want like if you're on like Bethany Beach or Lewis. Now, if you like the crowds, you go to Rehoboth or Dewey or something like that. That's the first thing. The second thing is the prices and the property taxes. Way lower. Property tax in Delaware compared to Jersey, you're talking about like 10%. So if you're thinking about getting a shore home, you want to go Delaware. If you're going Delaware, you're going Kasebe. No one has Delaware on lock like Kasebe does. Actually, if you're looking for Ocean City, Maryland, they can do that as well. They've got Delaware, Maryland locked up, him and his team at Long and Foster out of Bethany Beach. And I've said before, I'll say again, even if you're not in one of those two states, You need a realtor to buy or sell a home. Go to Kasebe first. He has a large network of realtors. He will interview realtors until he finds the perfect one for you for whatever you need. 302-864-8643, 302-864-8643, or adam@processrealtor.com. I still have Ben Simmons in my life pretty consistently, A, because of the pod, B, because he's on the Nets, which are on WFAN. Do you ever talk about Ben? Like, is Ben still a conversation point in Philadelphia?
Well, like, he's when he had that air ball, like when silly stuff happens. But I don't, it doesn't feel like anyone's locked into the game to game stuff. And when Kyrie yelled at him a week ago or two ago, shoot the ball, those kind of things come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still like the kind of the joke, right? Like people still like make the Ben Simmons joke, but no, like, you know, I think at least
can you believe all the Sixers fights we had over the years?
I know.
Simmons fight was constant. Obviously the process fight. There were so many great fights about the Sixers.
The Okafor debate rolls out of bed, gets 20 and 10. Like yep. there was nothing like it. But the Ben thing, yeah, I just think, I don't know. I still think the people that still get hung up about it. It's like, what are you so mad about? Like, he's not here anymore.
Oh,
like,
I love being mad about him. I love it. I will never. Now I know. I was never, like, I was always a McNabb guy. And I think I graduated Syracuse the same time as him. So I was always a McNabb fan. I always made excuses for McNabb. McNabb was a great quarterback, the best quarterback in the history of the franchise, at least greatest, most accomplished in that way. But I did not see his flaws. I couldn't understand why everyone held a grudge for so long. And I feel like Ben Simmons is my McNabb, is that like, I never liked him. I was right about him. Nobody cares that I was right about him. And I want him to continue to fail so I can continue to be right. And well, that's sort of like where I sit. Like, I can't let go. We talked about on Art of the Take that nobody cares if you're right. Like, it doesn't matter. Don't be afraid of being wrong. But like, I am obsessed with the fact that I was right about Ben Simmons and I don't get any credit.
Maybe we should all allow ourselves one thing that we have to be right about. It's like, you know, when people like they work out and they have cheat days.
Yeah.
Like Ben Simmons could be the cheat day for takes. Like none of the other ones matter, but you need that one.
Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, I don't think you should be worried. You're not going to be right about him. I saw the Woj thing yesterday. Like, yeah, in Brooklyn, they're like, he's not ready to help win. I'm like, of course he's not. Is anyone surprised by this?
I guess I just wish I could get one thing that I would be proud with being right about. Like, I don't think I have one. I still think I'm 0 for 1,000. Like, you know, I can't, you know, hang my hat on one thing.
You did say the Phillies were going to win the World Series on opening day. I mean,
but that was a thirst post.
Well, all right.
We'll get to that.
But the most interesting part of the Ben Simmons discussion here, at least, Spike, is that I don't know if you know who Howard Eskin is, but he has taken a massive turn on Ben and is now very positive.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Wait a minute. It's just because of the dog tweet?
Yes.
It's just because of the dog tweet. And before the season started, he was on with Julio. And with
is this Julio, a real thing? He's pro Ben now?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
It's very sad.
Yes. In fact, he's told me when the mics are not on that it's hard. Like he doesn't want to rip them. Like, Ben is one of is over because of him offering condolences for Howard's dog. Because I think I brought up to him, do you see that Ben Simmons airball? And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm not gonna say anything though.
Yeah. Before the season started, he was like, I think he's gonna play well up in Brooklyn. And I think he's gonna be good.
He told me the Nets would be better than the Sixers. And I was like, Howard, but like they're unreliable. None of those guys actually are like they're all flaky. And he's like, yeah, I think it could work. I'm like, it's because of the dog.
Wow. So I won't reveal who, not Daryl Morey. I told a Philadelphia sports executive once I said, hey, look, if my dad is being rough on you, just fucking donate to one of his charity things and he won't be rough on you anymore. I was like, there's a very easy way. And to Howard's credit, I think it is because his exterior is gruff, but interior, he is a sensitive person. So I think you can get to him by being nice. But Howard turning positive on Ben is stunning. What a coward. To run from that.
For years it was fraud this, fraud that.
Benjamin.
Benjamin, because there's no J.
There's no J.
Yeah.
And he sends one tweet. one tweet, and Howard's like, "That's my guy, Ben Simmons. Love him. He knows how to play winning basketball."
I sat there with him as he was trying to figure out how to respond. He's like, "Should I respond?" I was like, "Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could." He's like, "I don't know what to do." Like he was caught up on this for a while.
The tweet was stunning. Like the Ben Simmons tweet was stunning.
The funniest part was it happened. I saw it on my timeline. We talked about it on the show for a second, and I called him immediately. I was like, "Can you come on to discuss the Ben tweet?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "You got to check your phone. Please check your phone." And he called me back in 5 minutes like, "I don't know what to do."
When a take gets subverted by niceness. This was Woj's report on Ben, by the way. Oh, for fuck's sake. For the life of me, it's every pod. I can't do this.
Here we go. Because he has been unable.
Here we go. Hang on.
The fact that Ben Simmons has been, I think he's been a source of frustration for Kevin Durant, for others on the Nets so far, because he has been unable. Now he's unable to stay on the floor with a knee injury. But prior to that, you know, he has shown that he is a long way away from being back to an impactful player. I think it's a big part of the reason why the Nets are at the very bottom of the league defensively. And none of this really works. This team was built and reconstructed around the idea that Ben Simmons would have to play a really significant role for this team, you know, especially on the defensive end, especially rebounding the back.
There we go. Look, the plus for Ben Simmons, no anti-Semitic scandal. The negative for Ben Simmons, can't play basketball anymore. So, you know. So the Phillies, are down 3-2. Now, Jack, you know, Joe has long been a baseball guy at WIP. Jack hosts High Hopes, which is a Phillies pod that you should subscribe to. I have to let you know, though, if you listen to the Ricky, you sort of have like Mike as the like optimistic one, and then Spike as like the realistic negative guy or whatever. On High Hopes, you just have two giant babies that think the Phillies are winning for them personally. It's a good pod, but it's, they're both coming from a similar spot.
Yeah, I would say me more than James. You know, James has gotten there this year, you know, with believing in the Phillies. But yeah, it's a different podcast, I'll say that. But, you know, we have a good time. We've created a nice little community. And we're having fun with the Phillies in the World Series. It's been a good run. Now, don't like recording podcasts when they lose at all.
Yeah.
In fact, Jack and James skipped a podcast after the no-hitter in Game 4.
Well, that's because I felt like I was going to throw up from having a milkshake when I was down bad. And
you didn't do a pod after a World Series game?
Because I felt like don't give me that look. When I get sad, I start eating poorly, and I grab the milkshake in the seventh inning, and I felt like I was going to throw up the whole rest of the game, and it did not sit well with me. So no, I didn't feel like recording a podcast. They got torched 7-0 or whatever, 5-0 at home, and yeah, I just wanted to go home. I wanted to go home. Sue me.
Wow. Now, Mike has not wanted to do podcasts after bad things, but always nutted up and like did the pod. And right. So you tell James, "I'm sorry, my tummy hurts. The Phillies lost. I don't want to do a pod." Like, what is James's reaction to that?
Well, was he okay with it? Because he's banged up too. When Harper hit the home run to start Game 3, James like fell and like hurt his ankle really bad at the stadium.
He did.
So you got one of them's hobbling around. The other one's drinking milkshakes and getting sick.
Yeah. Well, James rolled his ankle and it's like all black and blue. And he's like, he's limping around the studio. He's wearing ankle braces.
He's in a bad way.
Can you remember a team going on a run that is more unexpected than this one? I can't remember a Philadelphia team going on a more maybe the Eagles team in what was it like 2009
2008 when they were like 4-6 and they got to the title game against Arizona.
Yeah,
they benched Donovan in the Baltimore game.
Yeah, yeah. At least that team had won before, right? Like Andy and Donovan had done things. They got to the Super Bowl. Like, no, this is people have compared them to the Eagles the last couple weeks, like an underdog story. But like, people forget the Eagles before Wentz got hurt. They were a great team. They had like a one loss until December. Like, that's not this. This was. Yeah, this is really out of nowhere.
I mean, the only other one is like the 2010 Flyers, you know, that they were an 8 seed and got there, were down 3-0 and then
game seven. Yeah.
So that was kind of like it, you know, with like Michael Layton as the goalie. But yeah, for especially in baseball now, because it's more super team driven. Like you have the Dodgers, you have the Braves, you have the Astros, you have the Rays, you have the, well, I guess the Yankees don't really count as that anymore. Just an organization of jokers that are continuing to bring back their loser manager and
30,
GM.
30 straight years above 500.
Are you? Playoffs. Come on, you're not really saying that.
But it's about the process more than the results. They said yesterday. I'm sure fans in New York really love to hear that. Yankees fans really love to hear process over results.
Yankees fans are frustrated, but it. They did. It's hard to say.
Did you really just do the over 500 thing for 30 years? I mean, know you so much better than to think that's impressive.
They won 99 games. They were in the ALCS. The Astros are better. I don't. Whatever.
The Phillies have taken two from the Astros. The Yankees got swept.
No, it was a bad look. I told you I didn't think they had any chance against the Astros. I 100%. But I think. Whatever, fucking Phillies going a lucky run. I mean, do you think they have a chance to win still? They're in a bad spot, obviously, right now. I think them, and then we'll get into takes because this sort of pivots. Them losing the Nola game, I think, was the killer right there. I think.
Yeah, Game 5 was crushing. I mean, they had to win that game.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, like losing, getting no hit at home and getting blown out, it was like, well, whatever, we can move on past this. But the game, game five was just torture. You know, they had so many chances to kind of break through and open it up and like just play losing baseball. The only concern about like the biggest thing tonight is if Zach Wheeler can like feel his arm again.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm pretty sure he's dealing with like dead arm. So he was throwing like 94 in the first inning of game two. So hopefully he comes out and can hit 99 again. But if he's at 92 versus like, or 94 versus like Framber Valdez, it's hard to see a path to a win.
Joe, what's it like being around somebody whose thirst online is as unchecked as Jack's is right now? You know, where 85% of the tweets is just like thinking about Phils, period.
Or just Phils.
Or just Phils.
Yeah, just wakes up Phils.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his glory right now.
Yeah. I mean, during the playoffs, that's what he's going to do. But I woke up one day in like April or May. I was like, Jack's been unchecked for a while. Like, there's been no art of the take.
Yeah.
It's just been it just feels like he's been allowed to just run amok on the internet. And he has. That's what happened.
Jack, yeah, what do you have to say for yourself?
I think it's gotten pretty ugly out there. Well, I think here's the problem that you guys have with it. And I can just sense this coming from both of you.
Do not let the Phils win game six.
Don't let them win game six. My Twitter feed, I've realized recently, is more like a live blog of my life. You know, I'm just out here live blogging what's going on, what I'm thinking about, how I feel.
Right.
And like, it's just so everyone knows what I'm thinking about, you know, and it makes me happy. You know, part of life is being happy. Phils make me happy.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm just letting everyone know about it. You know how that is? Yep.
God, you're just fucking, you are disgraceful.
I do not miss Judge McThirsty. They could don't miss him at all, you know, just commenting and giving me the stupid gif with the guy drinking water. Oh, it's the worst. Especially like whenever I get a spike, like reply or like, I just say that this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
There's nothing that causes me more physical or mental pain than a spike reply. It's
I try not to do it too much. I'll do it to Elliot every once in a while, but I try to leave you out of it.
Good. Appreciate you.
Yeah. So do you think, I won't make a prediction. At least it would be nice if they got it to a game seven. It would be fun if they got it to a game seven, right?
Yeah. It comes down to Wheeler. I'm very nervous about Zach Wheeler. But if he comes down and shoves, like, whatever. We might have a shot.
Yeah, it didn't make me feel great yesterday when they said, how do you feel? And he said, we'll see. We'll see. That's not great.
So, Phillies takes. So, a lot of us doing the pod, like the hardest. So what the podcast was about takes and like why certain takes work. You know, we shamed people for being thirsty, yada, yada, yada. I could never really be public about my Phillies or Eagles takes because of like our partnership with the team. One that was hidden for years was like, I always thought Carson Wentz sucked. It drove me crazy. It made Ike mad at me. It was a huge, just enormous victory for me, at least privately when those things happened. But some of my Phillies ones have not been public. They're not looking great, honestly. So I think one of my Phillies takes is that Bryce Harper was a loser. And like that he was a good player, but the team would not win as long as he was there. And for a minute this season, when he came back and they sort of fell apart, I felt like that my Bryce take was going to be correct. And then he's gone on this run. Were you more surprised or excited by how he's played in the playoffs?
Surprised. Honestly. I was surprised because he looked bad in September. Like he broke his thumb, right? Then he came back and he didn't do anything for the month of September. He stunk. So I just thought, I don't know if he was off or his thumb was still weird or not strong in his hand anymore. I was shocked. I did not see it coming, Jack, that he would hit this well in the postseason. Then he just got on this heater for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and the thing with Bryce is that, you know, it's not very often that superstars just kind of go off in the playoffs. Like, he already has one of the five highest, I think, OPSs in playoff history, which is insane. The other thing is, like, the Bryce and Bede, like, discussion was there. Like, are these guys good enough to be best players on a championship team? You know, whatever. Like, and they were always kind of aligned because neither team, the Phillies hadn't made the playoffs, and then Bede hadn't gotten out of the second round. Now, I think Bryce doing this actually puts more pressure on Joel Embiid now. You know, like you've been the best player in town. Bryce has now elevated himself to superstar. You know, he's got this team in the World Series when they were 87 wins or whatever. And Bede's been on one seeds and hasn't gotten out of the second round or Eastern Conference Finals. Like, Harper has put himself ahead of Embiid in the Philly fan pecking order.
For sure.
And I'm really interested to see how Embiid kind of responds and if he can elevate his game to another level.
I'm stunned by the Harper thing. Like, honestly stunned. I still do not like the pandering. But it's impossible to argue. Now, there is one other Phillies take, and then I want to bring up an older Giglio take that was famous on the pod and has really come to roost and has made me miss the pod a little bit. Before we get to the Phillies one, final sponsor of the pod, LL Pivorsky Jewelers. LL has now sold more than 300 engagement rings to rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners. More than 300. You want the kind of jeweler who is not only going to treat you the right way, sell you great jewelry, and be a pillar of the community, but one who is going to beg me for rights to Ricky Sanchez t-shirts so he can give them away to his customers. And you have all three of those things in LL Pivorsky, the first sponsor of the pod. And I joke about LL, but LL is genuinely a good person who treats you the right way. Buying jewelry, it's expensive. You sort of have to rely on the person that you're buying it from, that it's good. You don't know what you're looking at. And I mean, honestly, they could sell you. I'm not saying that jewelers sell fake rings, but I'm saying if they did, you wouldn't know. I would have no idea. So having somebody that you can trust, like LL, is important, and you can trust him. And you go to buy jewelry there, you're not fucking, there's not like a salesperson jumping on you and like fucking eyeing you and pressuring you. Not LL. He's only the good part of the jewelry. So, and the money, like he will want money for the jewelry, but aside from that, only the good stuff.
Yeah, not for free. Yep.
Not for free. Wants you to make an appointment if you want to buy an engagement ring for him so he can spend the right amount of time with you. 707 Walnut is where the store has been for more than 30 years. Phone number 215-627-2252. Email lee@llpivorsky.com, or you can tweet at him @LLPivorsky. He also supports our charities, Mama T's Community Fridge and the Providence Animal Center, LL Pivorsky Jewelers. So my other Phillies take was Nola. I was always a Wheeler is the ace, Nola is not the ace, but like leaned in pretty hard on Nola. Nola, and this is why takes are great, because Nola seemed like he proved me wrong, right? Mm-hmm. In the clincher and then the first two games of the playoffs. But then if you don't publicly admit defeat, You just stick around a little bit longer. Nola's last three games were very Nola-like, all of them. The 4 1/3, 5 runs sort of performance. And it looks like, look, if they win the World Series, maybe he throws an inning in Game 7 or something. If they win the World Series, I think this goes away. If it doesn't, I think it's back to square one for, is Nola a crunch guy?
As we've learned on the Art of the Take, every take is right. You just have to give it time to kind of circle back around. At some moment, every take becomes right. You're right. It came back. He was amazing in those games. And then he stunk here down the stretch. So, yeah, don't declare defeat with Aaron Nola.
Yeah,
you got it.
Speaking of takes that have come around and become right, do you remember, Spike, do you remember Ike's Geno Smith take from way back?
Oh, yes. Ike actually, I won't mention who it was, but I actually texted Ike about this 2 weeks ago. And neither of you, I don't think we're here for it yet. Ike got into a physical altercation. Nobody was punched, but there was physicality. There was a legitimate physical altercation with another member of the WIP air staff off air about whether Geno Smith was going to be good or not.
Yeah, well, he was the MVP of the league for a little bit there. Yeah. I mean, listen, every take is right.
Yeah.
Ike's been in his glory 9 years later.
The Geno Smith take. Yeah, I could see Joe being stunned that that happened, but it happened backstage at WIP.
The worst thing for Ike would this to come full circle and the Seahawks come to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles in the playoffs with Geno Smith.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's, I mean, that would be a big one for Ike. And, you know, the other, and then I want to get to a Giglio take. The other take I remember, Ike always looks for the bright. Ike is reliable on the Eagles, but always looks for the bright side. It's hard for him to be like predictively negative. I'll never forget. They had hired Sirianni, and Sirianni had two press conferences already, and they were fucking disasters. Like, they couldn't have been worse. And I remember listening to the show while shoveling my sidewalk at home. And you guys were talking about Sirianni, and Ike goes, "Oh, I gotta stop everything for a second here. This ain't gonna work, man. This ain't gonna work. We all know this ain't gonna work." He was like, "He seems like a nice guy. There's no way this is gonna work, man." And here it fucking is. Like, the Eagles undefeated, and Sirianni, the at least like co-favorite to win Coach of the Year this year.
Well, and the Colts have been a disaster since he left.
Yeah.
So. Some are saying that Sirianni was the glue that held that that whole thing together out in Indianapolis.
Sirianni, the new Reich, somehow, you know, like the one that was holding it together. Yeah. So one of Joe's takes that happened very early in Art of the Take that you wouldn't expect Joe, who is a Philadelphia sports talk host, to become a point of conversation in Alabama, but he did become one. And I believe you did a couple of radio hits because of this take.
An interview with the Alabama like website, AL.com. Yeah, it was a big deal in Alabama, this take.
Joe's tweet, "Tua Tagovailoa is overrated. Tim Tebow with a slightly better arm and nothing more than a product of the talent around him at Alabama." Now, Tua Tagovailoa is currently the highest rated quarterback in the NFL. Joe, do you want to take back your Tua take?
I do not want to take that to a take. I just got to wait for this thing to circle back around. He's nothing more than the product that he has in Miami now. He's got Tyreek Hill. That guy's an alien. He just throws the ball up in the air, and Tyreek Hill just waits for it to come down, catches it, and runs for touchdowns. I'm not done with this yet.
Yeah, but like, Tua can throw an accurate football. I mean, Tebow couldn't throw.
Yeah. Slightly better Tim Tebow.
I mean, it fits in with the take. It fits in with the take. Who is the... who do you think the best athlete for takes in America is right now?
We've moved past LeBron. He's just boring. It's just sad what's going on out there.
I mean, it's weird. Like, Ben's, I would say Rodgers.
Oh, okay.
Because now he's not playing well. You know, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. All that stuff. I think Rodgers, because Rodgers still leads national shows. Like, Rodgers is still a big enough name where he, like, first segment, he's usually being brought up.
I mean, for the moment, it might be Kyrie Irving.
Well, I mean, the other night when they had the on SportsCenter, they were showing like Eagles, Phillies, like the night they both played, and in the middle of the graphic, it was like Kyrie apologizes, sort of like, yeah, it is. He's the biggest.
I remember, you remember, of course, when Deshaun Jackson posted the fake Hitler quote on Instagram, and I remember, I mean, just the fact that there's fake Hitler quotes out there. I mean, there's. You would think that there's, anyway, I remember sitting at WIP and saying to somebody, I can't believe we're talking about Hitler. Like, I didn't expect we'd be talking about Hitler and one of the players. And here it is again, another player somehow adjacent to Hitler. It just, I thought Hitler would be off the list. Hitler, not quite off the list yet. And the other thing, and I don't know if you guys, I did come up with a sports and a non-sports take. I don't know if you guys came up with one for the end. That's how we would always end Art of the Take.
I have one.
I just think about how amazing doing Art of the Take would be right now with Elon Musk buying Twitter. Like the amount of takes out there about Twitter and about Musk is very high level. It's very intense, and it would have been a really good podcast, I think.
Yeah, we could have done the entire Elon Musk episode when he bought it. Yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah, it could have been a lot of Elon. So as we end this, and thank you guys for coming on again, Joe, BetQL Daily, and WIP, Jack, Afternoon Show, Marks and Reese, obviously, and which he is the producer, and High Hopes, the thirsty Philadelphia Phillies podcast. But now, look, if you're the Phillies are in the World Series, you want a thirst pod.
Just let us cook, man.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna let you cook. We would always end the Art of the Take. We would give a sports take and a non-sports take. Joe, do you have one of each?
I do. How did we start? I forget how we started. The
non-sports
take.
Hold on. Before you start this, Joe, do you have one that's on par with the mechanics, or the doctors are just well-read mechanics? I don't know.
It's been a while. It's like when you thought you could still throw 85 and you threw 80 or 78. Like, yeah, I don't know if I still got those.
We've all lost our fastballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, this was a lot of pressure when we had to do this every week, by the way. It was a lot of pressure. Yeah.
All right. I'll try. Okay. So I had a couple I thought of, but Spike, when we started, you said something to the effect of it's beautiful weather, right? It's beautiful outside. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of people saying it's beautiful when the weather doesn't match the time of the year it's supposed to. It's not beautiful when it's 75 degrees or 80 degrees in November. This is ridiculous. It's supposed to be cool outside. Would you say it's beautiful outside if it was 75 degrees in the middle of January? No, it's weird. It shouldn't be this warm.
Well,
beautiful should match the time.
Is this a climate take from Giglio?
It's kind of a climate take. It just has to match. It's almost like, imagine if...
Also, what would you constitute as beautiful weather today?
Today should be like upper 50s, low 60s. Like, that's beautiful for early November in this area, right? Like, if you're in a warm climate, that's different. It's just too warm. Like, it shouldn't be 77 degrees today. It's ridiculous. It's almost like...
I can't believe you're sneaking in your climate virtue signaling.
I'll compare it to this. Imagine if someone likes dressed up nice, right? There's different kinds of dress up. You go out to dinner, you wear a certain something. Like, if Jack wore a tuxedo today, you wouldn't say, Jack, you look really nice. You'd say, Jack, you look ridiculous. Why are you wearing that? The weather is ridiculous.
Show up and look good on the podcast.
No, I wanted to
sit here and you know, think I looked good.
The weather needs to match the time and the
place. To be beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. And Giglio, your sports take?
My sports take is that Howie Roseman is going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is old. This is three weeks old. No one here has heard this.
This is brand new here.
This has been an off-air take that I think you already did a show on.
No, I never did that. I'm revving it up. It might be this week.
All right. So I don't have a non-sports take, but I have two things that are podcast related. One, Jill and I, we are having a kid, and it's going to be a boy.
Thirsty.
And many, well, relax. But we, I'll never forget on the pod when we talked about, is naming your kid after yourself a take? You know, we're not naming it Jack Jr., by the way, but I tried to do this on the air once. No one else got it. Like, no one else laughed. They were both like, what are you talking about?
Oh, they didn't understand. Well, to me, one of Jack's thirstiest moments was tweeting out that he was having a kid while Marks and Reese was on the air, like while he was working.
While he announced it on the air, which I got that, right? He's going to announce it on the air on the show. Right. Did you tweet it first or say it first?
No. So what I did, because I'm a professional and I look to maximize content, is I did a top five on it. And at the end, I released that I was having a kid. And then I posted the tweet and then put it on Instagram.
And do you have a sports take or
my sports take is that if the Eagles have a chance to go 17-0, they should absolutely do it and not pull any starters down the stretch to be healthy. 17-0 is more important than winning the Super Bowl this year. That is way cooler and a way better accomplishment than winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, a team wins a Super Bowl every year. There's only been one undefeated team. Yep. Way more rare to go undefeated.
Yes. So, and we've privately, Spike, we've had discussions on how to talk about an undefeated Eagles team.
You're jinxing it. Here you go.
That's a turn that we have to make.
Well, it'll be a
good
thing.
They're boring. They just win every week. We need something.
Yeah, they are very boring. Yep.
So my non-sports take, there's a lot of messaging out there. Make sure you vote. Make sure you vote. It's your social responsibility to vote. Vote, 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 vote. All those people are lying. They don't specifically want you to vote. They want you to vote for the same people that they want you to vote for. My message is do not vote. You shouldn't vote. If you lived in a town and there were two restaurants and they were both shitty and you continued to go to the restaurants, there was no one that was ever going to be a better restaurant. The only way that you can show that you disapprove is by not voting. Do not vote. It is your social responsibility not to vote. That is my non-sports take.
The most American podcast there is right now here. Do not vote.
Do not vote. They say it's your responsibility to vote. That's not really what they think. If you went up to them and said, I see that you say it's my responsibility to vote, but I'm actually voting for the candidate that you do not like, they would not want you to vote. So I don't want anyone to vote. And then my sports take is no quarterback is worth quarterback money. No quarterback. Maybe only Patrick Mahomes. Every team that pays their quarterback ends up getting worse after they pay their quarterback. If not immediately, then eventually. The quarterback value has become outsized. And if you look over the last 10 or 15 years, like there are a lot of instances when teams end up going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl with a quarterback that they haven't paid yet. That is because the value of the cost of the quarterback is outsized to the value. And most quarterbacks, almost every one of them, are not as good as that value indicates. Wow. So
preemptive don't pay Hurts take. I hear it. I mean, I get it.
I just don't know what you want. Do you want teams to just draft quarterbacks over and over again and see if it works out?
I mean, eventually a team's going to do it.
Yeah. I actually would. I would draft four quarterbacks every year and then just see if any of them are good.
Part of that sports radio brain.
The other thing that has happened with quarterbacks is, you got to pay him. He's on the last year of his deal. Don't pay him. He has a contract. I think teams will actually stop paying quarterbacks early. Because they'll be able to get another year out of them at a lower cost and realize that they're not going to pay them anyway. So they might, what's a quarterback going to do? Not play? I truly believe that's going to happen. And it more times than not, paying the quarterback doesn't work out.
As we saw with that bum Wentz in the Eagles 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Didn't work out. I mean, it sounds like someone that is watching Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones every week.
Just draft more quarterbacks. Get that Wilson
to
guy
draft him. Yeah, well, it's got to be a volume thing. That's what Hinkie always said. He was like, drafting is an unsure science. You're going to be wrong as much as you're going to be right. You got to do it a lot. Keep drafting quarterbacks.
I figured out my non-sports take.
Okay.
Student loans are bad.
Shout out, Elliot. All right. Thank you guys for coming on. Appreciate you. Miss Art of the Take like everyone else does. Waiting for someone to clip my do not vote take and cancel me. So,
well, it's nice knowing you.
Yeah, it's nice knowing you guys too. All right. Thank you guys. Go Phils.
Go Phils.
Go Phils.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me, Then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.